Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Charlie Adams, a guy I've known for a long time. He joins us on the Shift Real Estate Hotline. He is, I knew him, got known as a football coach. Back in the day, he was a star at Golden Valley Lutheran College. You played you're a quarterback. You had to account for Charlie. And you didn't want to try to throw at him, because if you targeted him, he'd get better and better as the game went on. Isn't that the way the story goes, Charlie?
No, not at all. No. I played free safety. I got my share of interceptions, but quarterbacks was not scared to go my direction, trust me.
Yeah, GVLC was a, I almost went there, was a great little campus and a great stepping stone place for kids, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was a great opportunity for me to go there. It's, if anybody, junior college ball, if you remember Last Chance U, it was like that. I mean, my academics were great. It wasn't that, because I had a full ride to St. Cloud, but I went to Golden Valley because all the athletes from St. Paul Central, Minneapolis Central, Robbinsdale, all, you know, different schools, we all went there, and we had a powerhouse in the football program.
Yeah, football, basketball, everything. They did it right. I still remember Bill Lundquist recruited me, and you remember Lunker, I'm sure.
I remember Lunker.
Yeah, yes. Everybody knows Lunker, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he and Steve Dove, and I remember that whole crew. But I loved their colors. They were the same as high school, and they had, it was one of the few junior colleges that had dorms and gymnasiums, everything right on campus, as opposed to just commuters, right?
Right, yeah. They had nice dorms. They had a co-ed dorm. Then we had a dorm for the athletes, and it was a real nice campus.
Yeah. Charlie, obviously, you mentioned your assistant coach at Minneapolis North. Your son's done an outstanding job there. He now works for the Twins, but you're also in charge of the 4th Precinct over there off of Broadway in North Minneapolis. And the times, they have been a-changing, and you and I have talked about it frequently. And, you know, last week you and I were together at a breakfast for the Hospitality House, and in large respect, isn't that what you want for these kids, is a place like the Hospitality House that takes them and says, if you don't have hope, let's put you on a path and give you hope?
Yeah, Max, we had that. We had that when I was growing up. I was a Wheatley kid, along with my brother Tony. But we eventually went over to Hospitality House. I played one season over there, football, under the late Ray Crump. Tony, Brett McNeil, Bronson McNeil, and Del Carter played at Hospitality too. Also, so they kind of turned that into a powerhouse program. But a lot of my current, my friends, current friends, and former athletes from Minneapolis North, such as John Gray, Greg Agnew, they all played at Hospitality House too. So yeah,
but isn't that what that serves there? What we need in the community is you could look at that and you know, the YMCA with Rich Melzer over there on Broadway. Places where kids can come and know that they're going to get a fair shake and get someone that cares about them. Isn't that a big, when we talk about how do we change this? What do? We need to let these kids know that somebody cares about them, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what, I mean, me growing up in public housing, going over to Wheatley every day and had 3 square meals during the summer. I had people over there like Cozy Breedlove who looked over us, and, just a lot of adult males over there that was our mentors and our coaches. So we felt welcome. We felt like we had somebody who cared for us. And on top of that, we were able to do activities, shoot pool, play ping pong, and play basketball, baseball, and football.
Yeah, exactly. Now, tell me, how do you feel right now? You sit on a powder keg and a very important job over there in charge of the 4th Precinct. How does it feel right now, morale-wise, and to be the commander-in-chief of that unit?
You know, it's tough. I mean, because it's been a tough year for everybody in this country, basically in this world. And it's been tough for our officers, too, because they're part of this community also, because they spend 10 hours a day in our community, right? And that's what I have to get them to understand, that they're part of the Northside community also. But it's been a challenge, especially with the violence and the rise of violence in our community. Last week was a really busy week for us. You know, we had two homicides. We had one at Merwin's Drug on a Monday night.
Yep.
And then we had one at on Friday at Shiloh Temple after a funeral. So that's really tough. And you know, everybody wants to take out their frustrations on somebody, right? You know, that Friday homicide at Shiloh Temple, my officers, I have to commend them. They did a wonderful job with maintaining their composure.
Yep.
There were people in the crowd going after them. And, you know, and to the point, I have to pull our community, too, because there's groups like Mother Love, New Salem Baptist, Reverend McAfee, and We Push for Peace, who was also there along with Reverend Bishop Howell's folks. And they were able to control the crowd and keep people back, not interrupt the crime scene. And it's just an awful scene. I mean, just to watch the young ladies crying because here's their family member that's, you know, shot and he's on the ground and we're trying to give him medical attention. It was a tough week last week.
But how do you keep guys coming back, police officers, if they see that time and time again? How hard is that to keep their spirits up?
It's very hard. We have to really start focusing on the mental health of our officers, right? We talk about the vicarious trauma that they witness every day, you know, and I'm really big on this health and wellness push. I think we need more money thrown at the health and wellness of our officers. I mean, I tell the story how I worked in homicide, and I can tell you I've probably seen over 100 dead bodies, right? And a lot of them were African-American males, you know, some I knew, you know, and some I didn't know. But I can tell you, I never really sat down and talked to anybody about what I had witnessed or the trauma I went through. Talking about last week, I had seen the murder of the young lady up there. I was at the crime scene. We had our shooting over at the gas station off of Washington. I watched them put the young man up on the stretcher and take him out. And then we have this this shooting at Solo. I haven't sat down to talk to anybody about what I witnessed. So I'm quite sure if I'm not, you know, I'm kind of struggling with that. I know my officers are struggling with a lot of this also.
One of the things that people maybe don't understand, and I understand not every police officer lives in Minneapolis, and some people take issue with that, but a lot do live in the area, and you may come upon a scene where either the person that has been killed or victimized, you may know them or their family, or the person that you have to arrest, you may know them or their family. Tell me about that piece of it. When you know either way, it's not a good situation when you're either arresting someone that you know or know the family, or the victim is there and you know them or know the family.
I mean, you know, the victim, and it's kind of interesting because we talk about Lisa Clemens from Mother Love says, everybody in North Minneapolis is related. You know, that's almost true.
Yeah, it is. That's what it feels like when I'm over there anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you're related somehow, some way, or I mean, you know, just a lot of murders that happens. There's always somebody I know the family member, right? You know, we had the young man that was shot. Our first juvenile was shot. His family, I knew two members of his family, right, when I got to the hospital. So there's always that connection with myself, my family, and other families when we see that. When it comes to arrest, I mean, I've arrested guys I went to high school with, right? And I had some of them demand me to take them to jail because they didn't want to ride with the other officers. So that hasn't been tough. That that hasn't been tough because they respect the fact that they know they won't get to the jail and it's going to be safe and they're going to have any issues with me.
When you see what happened like last on Monday night at a liquor store like that, do you run a high risk too of there being a children that witnessed it or a child or someone that saw it as well? Do you find that? Is that a piece of the psychological that you have to deal with right now?
Yeah, there were some children that witnessed it and was there, and I believe the victim's child was there too, from my understanding. And that's tough. But you know what really kills me, Mike, is just to see, you know, we have a body down, and we're starting to cover up the bodies, and that's just going to happen, right? Just out of the respect, and so people can't witness this, because folks are not taking their kids from that. They're standing there; these kids are witnessing these folks that have been killed, and then you got people with social media. It's just amazing how many people start trying to pull up their cameras and just start filming this.
Sure.
This is unbelievable. And also you're seeing it on the social media platform now.
Yeah, and those are real dead bodies. This ain't fake. This ain't TV, right?
Yep, like I tell people, this is not a game. This is the real deal. Yes.
When you hear, when you walk outside and you hear something that sounds like gunshot, it's not, I hate to say it, it's not that uncommon. I don't want to make people so scared that they go in there and you anticipate that, because it's not like that. But if you do, what's your next step when you hear something like that? If you just happen to be walking as a police officer, do you go immediately to the area where you hear it? What happens?
So North Minneapolis, we have what we call a shot spotter system. So once those gunshots go off, we get alert right away on our phone, or in the dispatch get alert, and I can get an email saying there's shots fired here at 35th and Lindell, right? So our squads will start over that way to confirm and check the area. So we have that spot starter system. That's nice. So even on our football field, my son has it on his phone, and I have it on my phone. So, you know, we're constantly hearing shots fired, you know, when we're at football practice. So it gives us a gauge of how far those shots away, right? It could be 6 or 7 blocks away, right? If it's right up on us, we have an evacuation plan where we have the kids go to the run to the locker room, right, and take cover in there until we find out if the situation is called for or not. Meaning, okay.
I mean, to think that you have to have that plan, Charlie, it sickens my heart. I understand it. It sounds like people in rural Minnesota for a tornado warning. You know, it's the same kind of thing. And it's like to think that you have to have a plan for that. It just it makes your heart, you know. Last year during the riots, I was over and spent quite a bit of time on the north side, and I was surprised at how vigilant the people were that own businesses. Same with on Lake Street. And they said, we ain't going down without a fight. If they come our way, we're here for it. Because we don't know if police officers can get here, and we're not going to depend on them. You know all these people in the community. How do you counsel them on that, about defending their property without stepping over the line?
Yeah, it's tough, Mike. If you know, you got the Broadway liquor outlet over there, Penn and Broadway, and they've been hit big time hard, you know. And the owner looked at me and he says, you know, Charlie, I don't know if I can. If this happens again, I don't know if I can reopen. And all the businesses are saying that. You know, you have a young lady that owns Anytime Fitness, and she's trying to do her best on Broadway with her business. But I don't think they can afford another broken window. I just wish people take that into account. The damage you're doing to property is not big corporate businesses. These are the mom and pops who are trying to make it in our community. And you can't keep burning up Broadway because we're still trying to build it after all these years, you know. I look at Plymouth Avenue. I was 5 years old when Plymouth Avenue, the uprising there, and it got burnt down, the stores. I can remember the deli. I can remember Desnick's Drug. And none of that stuff came back.
Nope.
You know, it didn't come back.
It moved out and never came back.
Exactly. And it hurts our community in North Minneapolis when we don't have those stores, right? So.
Yeah, which is where the term food desert came from, because Cub Foods was the only place until it got ravished. As you look back over the last 14 months, what has been the hardest part for you? What has been? Has there been one day, one incident where you said, my God, I can't believe this? Well, what's been the toughest part?
You know, the toughest part is when I watched that day, I think it was the Friday night when they were over at the 5th Precinct, and I watched the bank go up in the flames, and I just watched all Lake Street get burnt down.
I was right there, and I know exactly what you mean. Yep.
And I mean, I spent time in the spent the longest time in law enforcement in the 5th Precinct area, and it was hard. I couldn't handle it. It was just I was so upset.
Charlie, they had baseball bats there beating on an ATM machine right outside the Wells Fargo that they were burning. You know.
Yeah, and you know, and just to watch the 3rd Precinct go up flames. Oh. I spent 3 years there as an investigator. My brother and my son worked at that precinct. So, you know, when certain people wanted to say, well, it was just a building, no, it was more than a building.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us have memories, and we had our opportunities working there. So it was more than that. You know, it's just like if you say my house burns down. No, my house is more than just a house.
That's right.
You know, so.
Yeah, and are we on the rebound, or are we what? How are we going to recruit good officers to come into this city?
Well, Mike, that's interesting because we have 90 officers right now that's going through backgrounds that we should hopefully put on a class of 49 in the beginning of September. And a lot of diversity in that class, so I don't think people are shying away. My own daughter is looking to get in that class, so I don't see people shying away. We just put a group on of 17. and they just hit the streets Sunday. So I think the job there's it's really, I'm really happy to see people who want to come here and who want to be a part of the change.
Charlie, I appreciate it very much. I could talk to you all night about this stuff. It was great to be with you last week, too, at that breakfast where we at least had our first gathering in a long time. It was great to just sit with you and Troy and Grant there and visit.
Yeah. Mike, one thing, is your speech, if nobody, I think everybody should see it. It really blew me away. I got really emotional on it. I was able to share it on Facebook and share it with all my friends, and everybody said you did a wonderful job with your speech. So people need to see that, because Mike really hit it out of the ballpark with his speech. And I have nothing but much love for you, Mike. You've always been there for us in the North Side and been there for North Side Polish, too. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. When you made one comment, you probably don't remember it, but you last year when during the riots and we were out there covering it, and you said to one of the other officers, make sure you protect him. He's part of family. That took me to my knees, you know?
No, most definitely your family. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Charlie. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk soon.
All right, take care.
You bet. Charlie Adams, News Talk 830 WCC on that. There it is, folks. That's the reality of it. Like it or not, that's what we're dealing with.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.